Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the show Into the Night with Sean Kelly, our Sunday night edition. How's everybody going? Life is good. We finally got some sunny weather here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I don't know, I finished planting my garden, everything like that, and kind of happy for it. You know, now that I got a lot accomplished in the last 3 weeks, so I'm pretty happy about that. I want to thank UPRN Talk Radio, 105.3 New Orleans, 107.7 Mississippi, for allowing me to give you an hour of show on their platform. I also want to thank Carnation for sponsoring my show tonight and on Tuesday nights. Remember, I am always on Sunday nights and Tuesday nights, 8:10 to 9:10 p.m. So we got an interesting show tonight, okay? And you guys know that this is my laid-back show. And so I really couldn't come up with any ideas. I don't want to get too, you know, controversial. I don't want to, like, go crazy and, you know, talk about conspiracy theories or nothing like that. Not tonight. Just wanted to have a laid-back show. And so I called up my friend, Jay McNichol. Hey, River Rose, good evening, hon. Glad to see you. And, you know, it's just, you know, he's a baby boomer just like me, you know. And we're just going to talk about current affairs, what it was like us growing up compared to what's going on now. And I think it's going to be an interesting show. You got a lot of knowledge here of what it was like growing up back in the 60s. And in the 70s, and if something comes up in conversation to where, you know, something happens where it gets a little, you know, drastic, it will happen, you know. My shows are totally open. And if you guys have any questions out there in the chat room, feel free to put them in there. And if you have any comments, please, you know, please share them. That would be great. So now it's time to introduce my guest. He is a host. He co-hosts a couple shows on UPRN Talk Radio. I co-host with him Friday nights at 10 o'clock on News on the Flip Side with Joe Monteldo and Sean Patrick Hazlett. And he's a good friend of mine. And he's very, very knowledgeable on a lot of things. River Rose says, I am Gen X, raised by baby boomers. God bless you, honey. Yeah, and that's why you're a good girl. That's why, you know, our baby boomers, we're not that bad. You know, I think we did a pretty good job. But without further ado, my friend, Jay McNichols. Whoop, get on here. There you go, Jay. How are you?
Hey, Sean, I'm good. How's things up there in Pittsburgh?
Ah, not bad at all. It's like a little humid, man. Had to turn on the fan last night to go to sleep.
Yeah, we got up to 90 here. I'm 3 hours south of you in Waynesboro. I heard you say something about your garden. I don't know what you did, but I haven't planted anything today. But my front porch, I have, I think it's three types of creeping phloxes and mm-hmm. two types of two plants of what's called, it's like a cat. It's not catnip, but it has like a little purple flower, kind of looks like a clover or a thistle. So those are coming in, but I've been looking for Lithodora gracewarden. It's sort of a low ground cover creeper with nice either pink or blue flowers, but nobody has them. I had one at my old house years ago and I bought it at my work at the Home Depot, and now I can't find them.
It's the sign of the times, brother.
Yeah, I have this huge space on the side of my porch. There's just nothing in it but dirt.
Well, I tell you what, with my garden, I'm doing cauliflower. I'm doing some leeks. I'm doing some tomatoes and bell peppers, man. So we'll see.
What do you do with your cauliflower when they're ready?
I don't know. I never planted it before. River Rose says only 83 degrees today here in East Tennessee.
It's not bad, though. It's been unseasonably cold up here. I mean, it was cold enough last week to snow up here in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Cindy. Good to see you, honey. Thank you for coming in. Yeah.
When your cauliflower comes in, Sean, you got to try this. So I don't know how my mom did it. You probably have to Google recipes, but years ago, my doctor, I almost punched him. He said, you're pre-diabetic. You have to stop eating pasta, potatoes. I don't know if he said cheese, but three things that I really loved, and I really wanted to like rear back and just, no, I'm not stopping that. So in order to help me not eat too many potatoes, me and my brother love potatoes, no matter what they are, scalloped, mashed, boiled, whatever. So when we went to family events, if my brother and I were there and they didn't make double the amount, it was gone after we passed through the line.
Oh, I bet.
It was there, it was no longer there. So she started making cauliflower into mashed potatoes.
Oh, that's good.
And you really couldn't tell. The consistency was, it really, really felt like mashed potatoes. But on, you know, when you finish like a beer, you can, I could taste the hops. When you finish the mashed potatoes, cauliflower, you could taste the cauliflower, but it was still yummy.
Hey, Michael Anthony, welcome, buddy. Thank you for stopping in tonight. But I like cauliflower rice.
I haven't tried it yet, but they have those. They have it in like the frozen bags at the
grocery store. Yeah, they're good. Cauliflower rice is freaking good. It just, and so we're gonna see what happens with the garden this year. Oh, also planting potatoes. But what I like to talk about tonight, and we discussed this before the show, how we grew up back in the 60s.
Way different.
To how kids are growing up today. See, to me, it was more patriotic back then. Okay.
Yeah.
We had really, really, really blue skies.
Yeah.
We had very white clouds. Our grass was really, really green.
Vivid green, vivid. I mean, much, much greener than what you see today. Even guys who have a healthy lawn doesn't compare to the color 50 years ago.
No, it don't. And I tell you what, I had a lot of fun growing up. Got my ass beat.
By
my neighbors. I got my ass beat by my
parents. By the neighbors' kids, by the neighborhood bully. My brother didn't usually beat me up because he was younger. I weighed more than him, so I usually just sat on his face until he gave up. but they weren't the type of fights like kids have today. We didn't beat the living snot out of each other. Just enough to you said something about my brother or my sister. Bam, bam, bam. You know, give a Charlie horse, and that was the end of it.
Right. And then what happened, dude? Now, I remember I live in Dormont, right? And there were gangs from Brookline, Beachview, whatever, you know, all the areas. And they would all meet down at Dormont Park, and you would, Friday night, Saturday night, you'd see them down the park beating the crap out of each other. But you know what? After that, they just walked away.
Yeah.
Walked away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you see fights going on, it's with guns.
Yeah.
It's with guns and people killing each other. Why? Tell me why.
It's got to be a cultural thing. You know, I was a teenager. We didn't actually fight. My friends and I in high school, we were breakdancers. And for years, like at least 2 years, we would stand in front of the movie theater lines in Congressional Plaza in Rockville, Maryland. And we would, other groups of breakdancers, there were black guys groups, there was Asian guys groups, and there was my group, which was two white guys and two Asian guys. And we got into breakdance fights. You didn't actually, I mean, you would pretend like you were punching each other the way you were dancing, but there was never any contact, maybe a chest bump or two, but you either won the dance or you lost the dance. And my troop, we hardly ever lost.
Uh-huh. No,
our arguments over. You guys suck. No, you guys suck. Boom, let's dance it off. Like in Guardians of the Galaxy, when they have the dance off for the galaxy. Uh-huh. That's how we did it. It was really like that.
And now they shoot at each other.
And now they get into an argument at school. They go home and get their daddy's gun. They go over to the other kid's house. Bang.
Yeah.
Shoot the kid when he opens the door. I mean, what the hell? Why do you end your argument because you lost or won with a gun? Come on.
Sebastian Moran says, hello to Sean and Jay. Great show tonight. Thank
hey,
you
Sebastian.
Much, Sebastian. I haven't seen you for a while, brother. I'm glad you stopped in tonight. For people that just stopped in or started, you know, watching the show, we're just going to, it's a laid-back show tonight. We're going to talk about when me and Jay grew up compared to what it is like today. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. You know, I didn't want to bring it up, but it's going to come up. Back then, okay, whatever your party was, Democrat or Republican, mm-hmm. you voted party.
Yeah.
You didn't vote, you know, because, you know, this guy is stealing from this guy or someone is killing, you know, doing all kinds of shady shit going mm-hmm. on up there, what's going on today. You voted. And if you remember, the presidents and the vice presidents back then, they actually got along.
Yeah.
You know, they actually worked together. And,
whether you were Democrat or Republican, whether you liked your candidate or hated him, you voted along party lines for the very most part. Even in my parents, my dad was a Democrat. My mom was a Republican. And they quite frequently, you know, argued about certain points. But when they went to vote, it was private. Nope. My mom didn't tell my dad who to vote for. My dad and didn't tell my mom who to vote for. They didn't tell who they voted for once they done voted. Because it's private. That's why those walls are there. You're not supposed to let people know. And the only time they voted across lines was usually on the local level. Like, they knew this guy was better for education than that guy. Or this guy was right. better for the police station than that guy.
And, I mean, it just... And now, today, you know, there's one party that's doing everything in their power to not let this one person run for president.
That same party is the one who backed the KKK. I believe that same party is the one who resisted freeing the blacks for many, many years. I don't know, people may not remember, but in history, most of the southern states were either had already freed their slaves before the war started and or freed them during the war. And after the war, whatever southern states still had slavery, it was abolished right after the war. Most of the northern states didn't do it for up to 10 or 15 years after the Civil War.
Right.
So these people, these Democrats, just say they're for everyone's civil rights. Go back and look in history. They weren't.
Right. And, you know, I'm not, you know, as everybody knows on my show, you know, I'm not knocking Democrat. If you're a Democrat, great. It's cool. If you're a Republican, same way. It's cool, mm-hmm. you know. But I just... personally do not like what's happening in the White House and in the government. It's terrible, man. When you have to use the alphabet people to...
when you militarize the alphabet soups to go after your candidate, that's just wrong. I mean, not only the alphabet organizations, but they've militarized the judicial system. I mean, we got Trump in court right now. You seen his pictures?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a, whether you like him or hate him, he's got this look on his face like, I can't believe I'm effing here.
Right. No, right. You know, I mean, that's exactly right. And I mean, it's just, it's just not right. You know?
There's a lot of change that needs to happen. And I don't think we can do it the way we vote now. You don't vote for one person when you vote for president. You're voting for two. It should be a separate ticket. You vote for the president, one person. Then you vote for the vice president, one person. And if you wanted to, hey, Carrie Lynn. You could vote for a Democratic president and a Republican vice president. And you could flip it around. And I think we would have a much better political recourse if we had opposite parties in control.
Right.
It's supposed to be bipartisan. How do you have bipartisanship when you're voting for two idiots on the same ticket?
You're right. And it just and how many states have already gone through voting stuff. Hey, Drew Silverman, what's up, buddy? That's my boy, Drew. Me and him used to work together.
At least 3 or 4 or 5 states that have tried to put Trump off the ticket and have been that has been quashed by the Supreme Court.
Okay, River has been raised in Orange County, New York, by a very military family from Calabria, Italy. On my dad's side and my mom's side, Irish and Cherokee Indian. God bless you, River. God bless you. I grew up very patriotic, but feral and free told the question everything. And today I am a homeschool mom raising a young man, now 16, and he gets the best of how I was raised. And I am always complimenting on the bright and polite Noah is, but he is also intelligently sarcastic like mom.
Sounds like you're on the show.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm telling you, I have had River on my show before. And very, very intelligent lady. She's good people right there. And thank you for sharing that, River, honestly. But look, see, with River, right? She was patriotic. And, you know, and free to ask questions. We could do it back then.
Yeah.
Without any fear of getting in trouble.
Yeah.
You know? Jay, there's so many times on my show that, you know, that if I talk about a certain subject, okay, that one of them alphabet people are going to come knocking on my door the next morning.
Yeah.
I remember one time when I was with Jenny on Chasing Prophecy about 4 or 5 years ago. Okay. We were talking about aliens. Okay. Mm-hmm. And how the aliens were, the reptilians were actually, you know, the royal family. And I didn't want to talk about it because I didn't want the SAS to come knocking on my door the next day. You know? And it's like,
they'd have a hard time coming over here, the British Special Forces. But I actually was threatened by one of the three, and probably the NSA. I'm not certain. But it was in the 90s. Some friends and I were at a bar, and it was a crowded bar, very crowded, very loud, little dive bar, Jim Collins in Savannah, Georgia. And the subject of UFOs and aliens came up, and my friends didn't know, and they knew that I knew, so they asked about it. And we probably talked about it for a couple of hours, drinking beer and playing pool and whatnot. And then 3 o'clock came, the bar closed. I went home to a phone ringing, and there's a guy on the other side saying, "You better stop talking about your dad's top secret work and UFOs." I'm like, "Well, how the hell do you know what I was talking about? You weren't even there." So somehow, whether my clothes were bugged or the bar was bugged, my dad was doing and had been doing top secret work with the Navy since the 50s. He started off with EG&G, which I think is they're no longer around, but I think they were a fairly evil, again, three-letter organization, and they built Area 51. At least they laid the groundwork. They built the first rail, the first runway and the first outbuildings, but they did all kinds of deep, deep, top secret stuff. So somehow some agency found out what I was talking about, and this guy threatened my life without threatening my life, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, he absolutely.
Times to the point where he scared me, so I called the police. I actually dialed 911. I said, "Hey, there's some fool calling from New York, calling from Chicago, and threatening my life in a way that he's, you know, I know what he means, but it's not like I'm going to kill you, but something, you know, the way they threatened the witnesses from Roswell. You know, we can take you out into the desert. No one will ever find you. That kind of stuff." Well, they sent a county policeman out who he was a very nice guy, young guy. He was probably about my age, in the early 30s. But yeah, I was probably in my late 20s. He was in his early 30s. And while I was talking, giving him my report, the guy calls again. And he's like, "Why'd you call the cops on me?" I'm like, "How do you know I called the cops on you? There's no cops over here." He's like, "Let me talk to him." I'm like, "No." And the cop's like, "What?" And he's like, "The guy wants to talk to you." He's like, "Give me the phone." I handed the policeman my phone. And he's like, "Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, come on down. I'll give you my address. Come on down. Let's have a fight." And the guy hung up on him. hung up on the police officer. And I was like, what happened? He threatened the police officer. So it happened. You got to be careful. Knock on wood. Nothing else happened from that. But I'll tell you what, I was scared for my life for a little bit.
Right. Now, hello to the girl from the stars. Thank you for coming on the program tonight. It's good. Thank you. It means a lot. So you said your dad helped out on Area 51. Am I allowed to say that?
I don't know that he helped in Area 51, but he did work for EG&G for a time, and then he started his own business. My dad graduated John Carroll University, which is up in Ohio, and he started a new major in physics called hydroacoustics, sonar.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a new specialty. And I think John Carroll might be the only university now that still only has that as a major for physicists as a doctoral program. And he was working with EG&G at first and then on his own as a contractor to the Navy to try to specify in sonar whether you're chasing a biologic, a geological anomaly, or mechanical. And the hard thing about it is many whales are about the same size of many of our submarines. And you were talking about your dad was a sonar guy and they chased, whales all the time. The old sonar, which was called SOSIS, just wasn't good enough. Yes, it was underground microphones, but my dad invented a way with the underwater microphones to, he did it in an array. So it was kind of like SOSIS was 1D or 2D, two-dimensional pictures. And SIRTAS, which my dad eventually made and is now no longer using, it's no longer top secret, made it more of a 3D. So it's kind of like, X-ray versus CAT scan and CAT scan versus MRI. So okay. You get better detail out of it.
What's your whole theory about? And I mean, I know we have had discussions about UFOs and aliens, mm-hmm. but a lot of my people who are in the chat room and who listen to our show probably don't know your opinion on aliens and UFOs. What would you care to share it to my people?
Well, mathematically speaking, it is impossible that there are not aliens in this galaxy.
What do you mean by that, Bud?
Well, so we got... the guy named Frank Drake, I believe his name is Dr. Frank Drake. He and Carl Sagan made the first universal message that they sent out from Arecibo back in the early 70s or late 60s, whatever it was. And then they had in the 71, the wow signal that was a response to that. Frank Drake eventually came up with the Drake equation, which factors in how many planets are in a solar system, how many planets in that solar system are within the Goldilocks zone, how many planets in that Goldilocks zone have an atmosphere, how many of those atmospheres have water, et cetera, et cetera. Many, many just guess numbers that you just plug into this random equation. And it looks like one of those calculus things. It's like numbers, letters, plus, divide. It's so complicated, I don't know how to even figure it out. But it's all guesswork. So I figured I'd make my own calculation, and you can call it what you want, the J equation or the logic equation. We just use our solar system as the basis. We know in our planet has life. That's one planet has life in this solar system.
Right.
We're pretty certain most scientists are 99.9999 infinity percent certain there's some kind of biology on Venus. The atmosphere is filled with the type of greenhouse gases that only come through biological processes. So there's something alive down there, whether it's plants or mold or whatever, something's alive over there. We're also aware that now, since we've got the science, but even before then, we were fairly certain that Mars used to have an atmosphere and still has a very slight one. But also, we now know that there's surface water. It's just under the surface. It's not buried way, way down, but there's liquid water. And that's a key thing for life. We also know that there's Enceladus, which is a frozen planet. It's a moon, really, around Saturn. And then there's Enceladus. And Europa is the other frozen planet around Jupiter. There's also Io, which is the most volcanically active planetary body in our solar system. I mean, it's got volcanoes all around the planet constantly going off. And we're fairly certain that that's how our planet's atmosphere began, is through massive volcanic activity. Mm-hmm. So taking all that into calculation, we have one full planet. We have 0.9 on Venus. I give Mars about 50%. So I think if we get Elon up there, we could probably within 50 to 100 years engineer it to be a fully atmosphere planet where we can take off helmets and not have our eyes explode out of our head. Io is probably like a 0.25 probability that if it keeps on going, it'll have its own atmosphere and possibly create life. And then you have Europa and Enceladus, and I give both of them a 50%. So that's 1.9, and so just call it 2.50 Venus, Earth, and Mars. Then you got a 1 with Enceladus and Europa, and a 0.25 with Io.
Okay. So go ahead.
4.25, just round it down to 4 or 3. Let's just call it 3 planets in this solar system could or have or did have life at one point.
Okay.
Now, times that by the amount of planets in this galaxy, it's over 100 trillion. There are a trillion solar systems in this galaxy. That's the new guesstimation of how many solar systems. 1 trillion. That's a lot. That's a one with, 26 zeros after it? Think about that. Our brains can't handle that number. Times that by 3. Divide that by 3. What do you get?
I don't know.
Huge number. Hundreds of billions, hundreds of billions of planets that could possibly hold life. Even if you cut that in half, or cut that in one third, cut that in a quarter, cut that down to an eighth, we're still talking billions and billions of planets that possibly have life. There's no way we're alone. It's impossible.
So you're saying that the aliens could could be in one of those planets or moons or something like that?
If not now, very soon, within the next 100,000, 200,000 million years. But that's just our solar system. The entire galaxy we're in is something on the order of 10 or 11 billion years old. Our planet is only 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
So think about how many more planets on this system are 100 million years older than us.
It's insane. It's insane.
Is old enough that there could have been 5 or 6 civilizations that became space travelers and completely left the planet. Right. Whether because there was something that was going to come, like a meteor was going to come, and they couldn't stop it, so they left by spaceship to another solar system. The planet got beaten up, and then a new evolution happened, and those people flew away, and then another event happened and destroyed the life on the planet, and then another evolution. We could be the 5th, 6th, 12th evolutionary species on this planet. We have no idea. After about 1 million years, our civilization, there'd be no trace on the ground. No trace. No buildings, no bones, nothing. You might find some activity in the atmospherical gases that we knocked off a couple of nukes. And we know that's possible. You've heard of John Brandenburg?
Yeah.
He worked for NASA. And while they were doing some of the preliminaries before launching robots to the planet Mars, he detected, and I forget what it's called. It's like xenon something or other. It's an element that can only come from a nuclear explosion, but not a natural nuclear explosion, which can occur. This explosion came from mined and milled and properly changed uranium. It can only be done by a technological society. And there's enough in the atmosphere that he detected 2 airburst locations, one above Cydonia and one a little bit further south and west of Cydonia, in the atmosphere of Mars. So put that in your brain. Somebody blew up 2 nuclear bombs on Mars, and it wasn't us.
Oh,
yeah, wow. It's a mind bender.
It is a mind bender.
Sean Patrick had him on his show, and I wanted to watch it, but I was so tired I fell asleep before the show started. You can probably find it on the archives here on the network, but yeah, he detected that.
Yeah, that's craziness. Now it is. It's just
it's
too mind-boggling for me.
I'm not a
Star Trek fanatic. All right, I never hardly watched Star Trek. Yeah, I admit I never did. But
it's okay.
I mean, but to think that how somebody can actually sit down on a piece of paper and come up with the equations of what you just said, you know what I mean? You'd have to be a prominent mathematician or something.
I'm not sure if Frank Drake's a mathematician or not. I'm fairly certain he's a physicist, so he's got to know advanced math. I mean, to be a physicist, you have to know calculus.
Right.
I don't. Okay. Math eluded me throughout high school. My dad taught math. Funny story, when I was in high school, my algebra math teacher learned algebra from my dad in college at John Carroll University.
Oh, wow. My cousin goes
there.
He plays
math
football.
By my dad's student.
Roland Powers says, no, it's not crazy. This is true. The scans are there, and the resonance of nuclear bomb radiant on Mars.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah, that's absolute fact. Yeah, I agree.
So I agree with you, okay? I believe in aliens, I believe, but I'm like on the fence with the whole situation. By being on this radio show for a long time and having a lot of guests that have been abducted and stuff like that, I know they exist, Jay, but I'm the type of person that I need to shake their hand, okay?
Yeah.
So it's like I actually have to see them, and that's the same way with the spaceship coming in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to actually see it with my own eyes to actually give a definite answer on do they exist or not. But do I think
so? Have you seen the show? It's a 1 hour, maybe 90 minute. You can get it on DVD. You can get it on the Roku channels, Hulu, what have you. Hosted by Jonathan Frakes, who played Will Riker on Star Trek Next Generation. The Alien Autopsy Fact or Fiction. You ever seen that?
I see all different types of things. Some say it's fact. Some say it's fiction. Could you clear it up for us?
The Alien Autopsy Fact or Fiction, in my opinion, the creature or special effect body that they examine in that video is not fake. It does not appear in any way to be a doll, a mannequin, or any sort of fabricated Hollywood special effect. Now, during that movie, they have several experts. They have, I forget the guy's name. Oh, Cyril Wecht. He's a very prominent coroner.
Yes, I do. Yep.
Very
up
prominent.
Up in Pittsburgh.
He stumped on it. He's like, whatever this is, does not appear human. And then he described several things that, if it were human, would have to have several extremely rare diseases and other things like polydactyly and something cephalism where the brain has extra liquids on it. Stan Winston, who's, God rest him, his soul, he's now deceased. They have him and his team who built the aliens for Alien, who built the predators for Predator. Very, very realistic live camera special effects creatures. But they couldn't figure out how this was done. And Stan Winston even says during the video, he's like, if this is fake, whoever did this, if you came to me right now, I would hire you on the spot to work for me.
Wow. It's that well done
that they stumped a doctor, several doctors, and the leading Hollywood special effects artist at the time.
Roland Powers says, I believe in aliens. This came from the Anunnaki. And that's my next question coming up, Roland. And they've been at war with another alien race And this is true also. I think that other alien race, if I'm not mistaken, please tell me if I'm wrong, is the reptilians. Roland Powers, NASA has the answers. Go ahead.
The way that I understand it, and Joe probably knows a little bit more, the Anunnaki allegedly are from a planet that has a very obtuse angle orbit through our solar system. And on its way through several times, it destroyed the fifth planet out, which in the Sumerian myth is called Tiamat. If you're a Dungeons & Dragons player, you know of Tiamat as the chromatic evil dragon. Pumapunku is destroyed by some sort of massive cataclysm of water. So the war was really between the Anunnaki and the reptilians and the insectoids. Now, the insectoids, I don't know when they come along in, but if you look at some of the early depictions of the Anunnaki gods, they're kind of like very tall humans with dreadlock, really long dreadlock hair, dreadlocky beards. And those are the ones who alleged they're human-like. They religiously made the human race. The other allegations are that they're like 6 to 15, 20 feet tall with double rows of teeth. I don't have proof on that, but they also had the elongated skulls. The elongated skulls are all over the planet. Most of them we found are in Peru, and that they're really strange and their DNA does not match. They left the planet because as their planet left our near orbit, they went back to their planet and abandoned this one. And it's like every 3,600 years or 36,000 years that it comes back through the solar system. So they've been gone a while. While they were gone, the reptilians came in and saw these stupid monkeys running around overbreeding, and they came down and used us also as slave labor. Anunnaki built us because their workforce called the Ijiji rebelled. Now think about this. If you and I were to go to another foreign planet that's completely different from Earth, has a higher gravity or a lower gravity, has a deeper, denser atmosphere or a lighter, crispier atmosphere, we would not operate very well without specialized equipment, space suits or oxygen. So this is true of the Anunnaki. They could not operate in our atmosphere without serious technology. And the what they were mining was gold and fissionable material and other precious metals that an advanced society would need. They weren't looking for lead. They weren't looking for iron. They were looking for antimony, titanium, you know, real expensive metals that take us forever to make. That's what they were digging. But their workforce was dying off too quickly. So they made us, and they made several versions of us. Other versions died quickly and couldn't breed. So they had to keep the cloning process going until they came up with Adamu. Adamu isn't Adam and Eve. Adamu means the first ones. And it doesn't mean the first humans. It means the first humans who were permitted to breed. That's us.
Cindy Simpson's, go ahead.
Real quick. In order to keep the workforce going, it was easier for them to let the slaves breed uncontrolled.
Okay.
You just get more workforce. And it takes 15, 20 years for someone to be old enough and strong enough to go in the mines or go in the trees to do work. But that's how that story plays out. Then the Anunnaki leave. Reptilians show up, and maybe the insectoids come with them. I don't know. They do seem to work together, and they enhance the humans again, us. Then the Anunnaki came back again, and that's when the war began. Okay. So we have stories of the war in heaven, the war between heaven and earth. You got the Vedas and the Mahabharata stories from India of entire cities being destroyed. I think one of them is called Dwarka. Well, guess what? We just recently found a city called Dwarka that's underwater, just as it was described in the Mahabharata, as it was destroyed and sunk underwater. Oh, wow. These stories that were myth to the common scholars is now fact.
Okay. Wow. So Cindy says, Cindy says, well, that's amazing information. Someone would have stepped up by now to debunk it if that alien was not real. And Roland says, Roland came back and said, yes, sir, and manipulated DNA, gold, and dharma.
Double equals split.
Isn't this, it's crazy. I believe that the Anunnaki came down and talked to, I guess, kings of...
Actually, they put the kings into place. While the Anunnaki were here, they, whatever their hierarchy is, I guess it's kind of the way we have in Europe. You have hierarchy of king, prince, you know, king, queen, prince, princess, etc., lords, vassals, you know, the old school fiefdom style of rule. So that must be how that they ruled on their planet, because as they left, they set up certain bloodlines. And as you know, we talked on Joe's show about they only go after certain bloodlines.
Right.
Rh negative is a very popular bloodline they follow. And I think for a little bit, Rh positive as well. But before the reptilians show up, there is no Rh positive. There is no Rh negative in our blood or DNA. It is only
I know. Joe tells me all the time. I told him I have O negative blood. And he said, there's a good chance you were abducted by an alien, you know, aliens and stuff like that. So I kind of feel honored that maybe I was abducted, but I don't realize if I was. But so I'm going to come to this question about the aliens and the Anunnaki and stuff like that. Why do you think the government holds all that information back from us, even though it is the 21st century and we are not dumb?
Couple of reasons. Let's see what Roland has to say about this. Yeah.
This knowledge has been kept from us. I have seen witness two UFO in my life. I know they are here.
No. So I'm not going to take away from what you said, Roland, but there are two kinds of UFOs. There are those that are alien and those that are not. And by seeing one, it's very difficult to tell between, what do they call them? Reverse engineered alien craft. I forget that there's a three-letter term for it. Some of them are ours, some of them are theirs. Some of them are theirs that are operated by us, and some of them are ours that are operated by us, engineered from their technology. The reason why the government isn't telling us is because they don't know the answers. They don't know all what they need to know about. So we've got at least five races visiting this planet right now. Some have been here for thousands of years. Some have been coming and going. You got the Anunnaki who visit frequently from their planet. You got the reptilians, the insectoids. You've got the tall whites, and you got the short blues and the grays. I think the short blues and the grays are all like one. They may be different species, but they're one government, if you will. The U.S. government doesn't have all of the answers, and what few answers they do have scares them. And there are several. I don't think JFK was killed because of his knowledge or wanting to get the UFO stuff out. I think he was killed because of money, and right. the way he put a stop on the Federal Reserve. But they don't know how to deal with this. And since 1947, there is alleged rumors of several contracts made with these aliens. The Agriata Treaty of 1954 and another one in 1978 or 79. These treaties, basically, if you read the one that Eisenhower did, sells the human population of the planet to these creatures for a space gun. So imagine if we found out that the U.S. government actually sold our birthright, sold our children, sold us to an aggressive, evil alien race to get their hands on a space laser or some kind of advanced weaponry. Well, we would storm the White House and beat the living crap out of whoever's in there, whether we like the guy or hate the guy. We would go up to the White House and beat the living snot out of the guy who's on the chair. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons why they don't want that information out, because they're scared of they're losing their power.
Okay. Now, Roland says the first was a, this is his UFOs he's seen. The first was a spear in 1979, and that age is me, and it did dynamics that could not be matched by the aircraft falling in the second. It did, and the second came from around the moon, and I was on a podcast, and I did this podcast because I fear about people who judge me and what I know, what I've seen. I'm telling you what, Roland, right now, we do not judge. I do not judge anybody. We don't judge. Yeah.
Count yourself among the lucky. Very few people have witnessed UFOs going around the moon. Most of the guys who have were up there, you know, the Apollo astronauts or the guys who saw that stuff.
Roland, you can talk about whatever you want. We will give you all the respect about it, you know. And maybe me and Jay can learn something from what you have just shared. River Rose says, I think everything is relevant. I read all the Zacharias Stitchens books, which is a good author, books about the 12 Emerald Tablets. And that the 12 Emerald Tablets really fascinate me.
Yeah, I really have. I haven't read that one yet, but
I want to, though.
Yeah, I've got them in my Amazon thing. I've got the 12th Planet series up there. I haven't finished all of it. I like Zechariah Sitchin. He's a very nice, likable guy. But he was not a scholar. He was not a linguist. He kind of really taught himself how to read Sumerian. And God bless him. I'm not taking away from the guy. He tried very hard, but he did get quite a bit of it wrong. If you watch any of the Ancient Aliens TV shows, they're frequently quoting the way he translates Anunnaki. Anunnaki is two words. Anu, who is the father of Enlil and Enki, and Naki. Naki is equivalent to nativity or to ancestry or sons of. So if you transliterate Anunnaki to modern English, it is of the sons of Anu. And it's about the story of the sons of Anu. And that's why we get the trilogy from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You got Anu, Enki, and Enlil. He just was a little bit off in a lot of his translations. I did some serious research on just that word. I'm not a linguist. I'm not a scholar. I'm just a lucky, brainy idiot who can look around stuff and find things. And do proper research. And what I found on at least three, and you can Google search any of these Sumerian translatable places and just start punching in words, punch in English words to get the Sumerian word, punch in the Sumerian word to get the English word. And every time I punched in Anunnaki, Anu, and nativity, and ancestry, and sons of, every time Anunnaki came up. When I typed in, now the translation that Zechariah Sitchin gave for Anunnaki is those who from the heaven came upon the earth, or those who from heaven came down to the earth. I typed in that entire phrase, and what do you think came up? A paragraph, a very long paragraph of Sumerian cuneiform. Nowhere in there did it say Anu, and nowhere in that paragraph did it say Naki.
I'll be damned. Well, so let me get back to what River finished.
Find it out themselves.
12 Emerald Top. This is, I'm continuing River's thing here. Others and read about the history of kings throughout history. In all honesty, I think the governments are afraid of the full truth coming out, like selling out the human race and losing control over humanity is, yes, their power. And Roland Power says, if you get your hands on the Samaritan text, that tells you all you need to know. And distributed light between man and hid the darkness. And Rose comes back and says, you are correct on the wording. It's bits and pieces we need to decipher.
The information is so old that it's at this point is difficult to almost impossible unless we find one of the, there's allegedly three or four repositories or libraries hidden on the planet. Allegedly, one is under one of the paws of the Sphinx. One of them, they think, was the cave where they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. And I'll bet you dimes to dollars. You bet me a dollar, I'll bet you. You bet me a dime, I'll bet you a dollar. If I lose, I pay you a dollar. If you win, you owe me a dime. I will guarantee you dimes to dollars, most of this information is in Vatican City underneath their library, locked in a vault that only a few very rich and very elite people have ever been even allowed to see.
I agree, because, you know, it's funny, you were reading my mind or I was reading your mind, because
whole story is somewhere on this planet and a few people know it. But the bulk of the story is it started with the Enuma Elish. If you read the Enuma Elish, especially the English translated version, and then you read the earliest Bible you can get your hands on, maybe a Brandenburg, not necessarily a King James, but if you can get a hold of the Brandenburg Bible and you read Enuma Elish, you read the first 10 pages of that, read the first 10 pages of the Brandenburg, read the next 10 pages, next 10 pages, guess what? They're almost identical word for word. The only difference is the names have been changed to hide the innocent.
Wasn't that the deal with the King James Bible and the regular Bible now?
All of the Bibles that we have today, post about 1000 AD, was the Council of Nicaea. And there were several of them. And what they did was basically they did, if you and I were to go to make a FOIA request for stuff from Roswell, we'd get a dozen pages or even a Bible-sized piece of paperwork where most of it's been blacked out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they did with the Bible. They either took it out of the Bible or flipped the story so much that it's too much fantasy. Like we talked about Job one day on one of the shows, you know, and I'm like, how could a human being actually survive even in the mouth or stomach of a whale? And then be regurgitated onto the beach days, weeks later.
You mean Jonah, not Job.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, Jonah, not Job. So there's something to that. That they what they did was they flipped the story, so the whole truth is obscured. Hey, JoJo.
He can't hear us. Just wanted to see.
Oh.
But it's just. That was amazing, and I'm glad that you brought that up. But we're getting kind of close to ending the show tonight. Okay, we'll get caught up here. Roland says, I believe there's something big under the Antarctic regions that we don't know about, and that might be where the knowledge is held. True.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yes, basically.
General Byrd actually warned the U.S. government after his... I call it the last battle of World War II. It was 1946 to 47, where he lost with several ships and several hundred sailors, allegedly shot by laser beams from HAL Nebu-type aircraft with swastikas. I don't think Admiral Byrd is a man to give into flights of fantasy, but he said to the U.S. government, you know, be careful. Someday there's going to be a war where craft can fly from pole to pole, lickety split, and we won't be able to win that fight.
Right.
He didn't say UFOs, but he said craft.
Okay, and I'm going to finish reading up here. Roland says, basically what they did is remove knowledge that they didn't want people to know, and they wanted to us to worship a certain way. And that's how they put the word in, and it's been so since. And then Roland says, thanks, fellas. Thank you, Roland, for being on.
Thanks, Roland.
And River says, absolutely, yes, under the Vatican City, and so much more they have hidden. I was shown the vast underground during my seizure at the age of 7, getting the Holy Communion. And only in my older years did I finally put it together. Thank you, Cindy. Cindy says, a very interesting show as always.
Thank you,
Cindy. I appreciate it. Jay, I want to thank you very much for being on tonight. It was an excellent show. It was a great show. I learned a lot. I learned so much from you, Jay.
Honestly, thanks.
I'm going to have to get like a little recorder and just, you know, sit here talking to the recorder. But sometimes I'll be honest with you, when we're on Joe's show, you blow my mind. You do. You blow my mind.
Yeah, I've been researching this kind of stuff since I was 11. Wow. You know, Hurricane Agnes came through this area back in the 70s, and there was no television for weeks, and, you know, we got bored. So I found a box of my dad's books, and I found he had a copy of Mein Kampf, Hitler's autobiography. He had another, the history of the Third Reich. And then he had Eric von Däniken's first edition hardcover with the dust jacket Chariots of the Gods, and that got me started on this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But we got to close up here, so if you want to hang around, please do. Okay, children, if you can, please go to your children and give your parents a hug and tell them that you love them. And parents, please go to your children, give them a hug, and tell them that you love them. And if you don't have no parents, and if you don't have, you know, no children, find somebody and give them a hug and tell them that you love them. Because those three words, I love you, go a long way. And on that note, I will see you Tuesday night at 8:10. Who knows what the show's about? And Jay, again, I want to thank you for being on tonight.
Anytime, man.